But whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then just thinking about, you reap joy. You reap righteousness. You reap thanksgiving towards God. Those things that are like, that are, you're being conformed to the image of Christ through your generosity.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Garrett Hufford, and you are listening to the Beyond the Message podcast. Garrett, thanks for stopping by today.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Hopefully good. My voice holds up. I'm feeling it.
Yeah, it was great, Garrett. Great having you yesterday to preach. And a joke, a couple of people were like, Garrett, I've never heard Garrett preach. And I was like, well, me neither. So there we go. But in as one of our elders, you know, in plenty of different contexts, teaching and, you know, providing oversight and biblical wisdom to people. And, you are not used to the three services on a Sunday morning,
very much not, but
definitely teaching and, providing, you know, elder responsibilities and shepherding in our church is not a new thing for you. All right, Garrett, we're going to jump in. So as you know, here on Beyond the Message, we usually do three questions. And the first one is always, if you had more time to expand or include something else, what would that have been? You've got a whole document of things that you
I had to cut. I think the biggest thing for me was the reaping and sowing principle. So from chapter 9, when he talks about the cheerful giver, and the point is this. So like when Paul kind of says like, hey, this is my point. After all that I've said, this is my point. So whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then just thinking about, what is the harvest? Like there's a greater and eternal harvest. And I think when we Westernized Americans, like we're like, oh, we think of investing, right? And it's like, it's always monetary gain. Right? Yeah. It's always monetary gain. Like, hey, if I sow in the good and the right things, then I'm going to reap, you know, a certain return. And it's like, what's the return? What's the, you know, what am I getting after my investment? And to see what Paul says that you get, at the end of it, and even just taking from the beginning of chapter 8 too, just like, you reap joy.
Yeah.
You reap righteousness. You reap thanksgiving towards God. Mm-hmm. Like those things that are like, that are, you're being conformed to the image of Christ through like through your generosity. And I think that was something that just hit me. I think we are like, all right, I gave, so what am I getting? Mm. Right. And, or what power or influence do I now possess because I gave? Cause that's, I mean, you think of if you sponsor something or whatever, you assume a certain influence or privilege. Right. And I think we look at that really from a worldly perspective, more often than not, and not a spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, what am I getting? You're getting righteousness. You're abounding in good works. You are like
increasing your trust in the Lord.
Right. Like all
I'm
of those
stewarding
things.
This on your behalf, and I trust that you're going to use this for your
right.
glory.
Yeah. So I think that was a big part of that. And just that, you know, that you may abound in every good work as it is written, he's distributed freely. He's given to the poor and his righteousness endures forever. And he's like, hey, you're getting that same righteousness, like that same righteousness that endures forever. Like you get that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, yeah, it goes back to 5:21.
Right.
Like we can become the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
And we get to live that out in generosity.
Yeah.
And we get to live that out in trusting and being fully satisfied in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where we find joy.
Yeah.
Right. Like that's real satisfaction. And I think that for us is the biggest thing. It's like, where am I satisfied? And I think we say like, I'm satisfied in Christ, but what do we mean when we do that? Like when we're digging in, it's like, oh man, I get abundant, overflowing joy. I get the righteousness of God. And I abound in good works. I'm pleasing to the Lord through those things. And it's like, what else do I want?
Yeah.
You know? So I think that was a really big section that I didn't get to really address, but it plays into my first point was like, give yourself, like godly generosity starts with giving yourself first to the Lord. And it's like, man, if I am sowing in kingdom focused things, if I'm sowing in the kingdom of God, I'm going to grow, and I'm going to reap a harvest of righteousness and goodness and eternal things. And I think that's for us the, and even as Paul says, this is the point, right?
Yeah. I can't remember where you said it, but it was kind of some of the you're making your money talk for you. And like this, was that you or was that last week?
I don't know.
Just like that, like your actions line up with your words.
Yeah. I think it was kind of in Danny's.
I'm in the Gospel Centered Finance class. That was Michael yesterday morning. My bad.
But there is a sense of, hey, is it consistent, right? Is my generosity consistent with what I confess?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Right. And I did say, like, I think that was one of the connection group questions that I wrote out was like, hey, like as a something to assess my own heart, like, is if I confess that Jesus is my greatest treasure as a Christian, right?
Yep.
Is the way that I use my money consistent with that?
Right.
And it kind of goes back to what Danny said. It's like, hey, is there integrity in the way that you use your money?
Yeah.
Like, are you a hypocrite with the way that you use your money? Like, are you putting up a false front?
Yeah.
That you like, do I confess something with my mouth, but it's interesting. I'm reading in like John, I think maybe it's John 17. Don't hold me to that. But, where, you know, saying like Jesus is kind of before the Sanhedrin and, some of the, people are saying like, hey, they confessed or they believed in their heart, but they wouldn't confess with their mouth because of fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's this like, okay, do I believe it? Yes. Is it what I'm showing to the world? Is it consistent with what I believe? Right. Or out of fear of the world or the fear of what I might be, how I might be perceived, I refuse to do it. And I think that's just kind of hit me of like, man, there's that integrity of spirit and what I say, in front of man and what I believe in my heart. And it's like, those two have to like, they have to match up.
Yeah. That's good. You're close. It was John 12.
It's like almost a seven.
Oh, that's sweet. Anything else, Garrett, yesterday, again, there was a lot and it's not like there was a lot and you were like scattered, just trying to cram everything in. Everything that you said yesterday in recapping 8 and 9 was just a really good, I mean, again, like the heart posture reminder of, I think some of our, like what we're about to get into, these next two questions are pretty practical, but like you can't get to the practical stuff if you don't have the heart in the right place first.
Right.
And so continue, like, which I'm very pragmatic in my approach in that sense. Like I want to get to the practical and like, sometimes I can be too quick to like jump over the heart. I'm like, no, like do the work to get your spirit, your heart in the right place to then like allow your actions to follow and reflect and respond to the grace.
I think is probably why my challenge to us was like, we've got to slow down.
Yeah.
Like we are so busy. We are so scattered and preoccupied. And when I say preoccupied, I think I like that word because, being preoccupied with something is something you just like are always thinking about.
Yep.
Like it's the thing in the back of your mind.
Yep.
And like I try to think of the way I think about that is like, what preoccupies your thoughts? Because like when you're in love, like when you first like start like being interested in somebody,
yep,
you can go through your entire day and you're like, man, I just kind of coasted a little bit through my day and I did what I needed to do. But in the back of my mind, like that person was always back there.
Yep.
Like I was always thinking about that person. Yep. And it's, am I preoccupied with worldly things or am I preoccupied with Christ?
Right.
And a lot of that starts with like, man, what am I just generally feeding myself? Because it's those things that I'm going to be preoccupied with.
Yeah.
Right. And want us to be preoccupied with Christ and preoccupied with his word. And like that, those are the things that are sitting in the back of our mind. Like I'm always dwelling on those things. And everything else really like flows out of that.
Yep.
Right. My obedience flows out of that. 'Cause it's like, man, I'm thinking about honoring the Lord. I'm thinking about like how, like other people in my prayer life. And yeah. Like, man, I wonder how they're doing. I've been praying for them. Like, instead, I'm like, man, I've got this vacation that I've been planning for months, and I'm just thinking about that. Or I've got this work thing that just won't go away, or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, that's good. Sweet. All right. We got a couple of practical things here to jump into. So, what does it look like what does it look like to practically guard? Oh man, I just totally butchered that. Let me read what I wrote. What does it practically look like for our sacrificial giving to be our first and our best?
Yeah. I think some of that, I mean, and this is probably just, it can look different for different people, but I think for us, it's the first thing that we write. Like it's the first check that we write. I've been trying to be better, and I've actually asked Carly, like, hey, she pays the bills. And so a lot of times I don't even see like our tithe check necessarily.
Yep.
And it's like, I kind of have set like, hey, here's where we're going to like, here's what percentage I want. But, and then I kind of just let her take care of it. And I was like, hey, you know what? I need to like retake that back a little bit. And like, you can write the check, but I want you to give it to me so that like we can like pray about it. Ask for the Lord to multiply our gift and like actually spend a little bit more time. That's actually a sacrifice, and not a bill.
Yeah.
And I think that for us, like that probably is a little bit more on the heart end too. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, is this an offering?
Yeah.
Like to the Lord. And I think, you know, even, you know, the gift that Paul says that like Epaphroditus brought to him, that in Philippians, he's like saying like, hey, your gift was a fragrant offering to the Lord. And it's like, oh, like that's what I want. I don't want to just pay a bill to the Lord. I want it to be an offering. Yeah. And I think maybe that's more of a philosophical shift that needs to happen. And it can look very similar. I mean, you could do the same thing with an auto pay like online or whatever, but I think there's a mental disconnect from our heart sometimes that we're just like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to do that. Is it an offering though?
Yeah.
Like, do I see it as an offering?
Yeah. That was one thing that I think it was maybe a couple of weeks back that I was talking with Jake about that. And I was like, that's one thing that I struggle with, but I was thinking of it more of like, how do we help our kids see that and like talk through intentional sacrificial giving with them? Just saying like Abraham and Isaac, like Isaac knew what was needed for the sacrifice because he had seen his dad do it. Like he's like, this is what it looks like. And so even before I got that, I was like, well, we just need to be intentional with like the way that we speak about it. Not to like, hey, look at us in our home, but even with our kids about talking about like joyfully, like celebrating, like, oh, like guys, this was the day that our, you know, the auto pay went through for our contribution to church. And like, This is a gift that we get to give back to God. Like God has given us everything that we have, and we get to return this, and we continue to live our lives in response to that. So, just trying to like think through ways that we not only do that for modeling for our kids, but also for ourselves. Like what you're saying of like intentionally praying over that, asking God to continue to use the church resources to fund ministry, to reach people, to bless others, to like be a fragrant offering, not just in like, is it a good investment, but like, God, I'm trusting you with this and it's worth it. So,
Well, and I think just too, like you look at your finances, you look at your budget and, you actually think through like, hey, if I'm entrusted with money.
Yep.
Right. And I think that's where it's like, we think, oh, I earned money.
Yeah.
And I think that shifts things for us a little bit, right? It's like I was entrusted with it. So it's you have a manager, right? Or you have like a boss who has entrusted you with a certain amount of money. And you are given, they're saying, hey, take some for yourself. Yes. Like, I'm gonna give you some. But, like, here's the other things that I'm asking of you. And it's like, would you, like, and I think that maybe is just a framework to kind of help think through of, like, oh, I'm entrusted with this money. I didn't earn this money.
That's what, so gospel-centered finance, this six-week class that we're doing right now, that was the first week is everything belongs to God. And, like, all we have, all we are belongs to God. So everything belongs to God. And all of our life is stewardship, our time, our talents, our treasures, everything we have, we are called to steward. Even the money we earn from our paycheck, it's a gift that God has given us.
Yep.
He's given us the job to do. He's given us the ability to have the skills necessary to earn that paycheck, to work. Like, working is a good thing. But, yeah, it's stewardship.
Yeah.
Talk about were you going to talk about give, save, live? Just I think even in prioritizing, like, how we do that.
Yeah, because I think that does practically help us put things into buckets, because there's a level of, hey, like, I'm looking at my finances, like, how do I put those, categorize those things?
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, I do want to prioritize giving first. I want to be wise. So I am going to save. And then I'm going to live. But it's not like, hey, give 10%, save 7%, rest is yours. All right. So which is, I think, the easy thing for us to do, where it's like, hey, like, it's all of your money should be held open-handedly. And that just because you have does not mean you should spend.
Yeah.
And I think Jake said before too, like, the Christian really should, like, live under their means.
Yep.
And some of that's for to have margin to live in such a way that when called upon, whether for the church, for a friend, for a connection group member, like, that you can step up in a way that honors the Lord.
Yep.
And that you can truly be the hands and feet of Jesus in that, you know, so.
Yeah, that's good. And I think the order matters. It's like everything we have can either be spent or
and you will spend it
or given. Like, how do you go about making that? So, yeah, like you're saying, it's the first thing. Like, even the way that we've organized we have a budget spreadsheet and also have an app that we use too, but like that's the first category at the top of all of the expenditures. Like, that is prioritized, not just in our hearts, but also in order of how we work through our budget.
Yeah.
Make those decisions first.
Here's something too for our people. Like, we need no help on the live part.
Yeah.
We got that figured out. We know how to spend our money.
Yeah.
Like,
we
got that figured out.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I mentioned it a little bit just in my charge to the college students, but I think it applies to everybody, is find wise people to come alongside you and actually, like, help you in giving and saving. And what does that look like? And, like, actually probing your heart. I even think of, like, the last time that we bought a house, it was a bigger house than what we had before. Now we have 12 kids and just feeling the pinch of, you know, like, just space and laundry and all these things.
I think I've told you this. I once calculated you have less square footage per person in your house than we do in ours.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
So it's a game of percentages, so to speak.
Right. But I just called Jake and I was like, hey, I'm kind of feeling like this. I'm not sure about our decision to pursue this. And I just like your thoughts and your wisdom. Like, we hadn't put an offer on the house or anything like that. Like, just trying to think through, some of those things. And one of the things he challenged, and he's just like, hey, like, this would probably be a little bit of an increase in just lifestyle for you guys. Have you also considered that maybe your giving would increase in kind?
Yeah.
Right. And I was like, oh man, that's, you know, like, you're spending more of your budget, seemingly, like, on yourself, like, do you have the capacity to also like increase your giving at the same time. Yeah. And I thought that was just, that was good for just for us to think through. It was like, yeah, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
To, you know, we just immediately though, like we kind of jump to, you know, I have the money. So, and I already gave, and I have the money, so why not spend it on myself? Right. And why not upgrade? And why not do those things? And, just because you can doesn't mean you ought to.
Yeah.
And I think that for us is like that materialistic bent for us. Yep. Is just that's our knee jerk. Right. And, I think there's wisdom to be heeded there.
Yeah. I think it's easy to have savings goals. It's easy to have spending goal. I mean, you don't really think about like, I've got a spending goal, but like really left unchecked, it's everything we could yeah. potentially. That was one thing too that, but then, yeah, like how do you have a, like, what's a generosity goal? Like,
yeah.
Is it an increase over time? Is it an increase right now? Like, is there a percentage that you're at right now? Like, do you even know what your percentage is? If you're like, oh, that's lower than I want it to be. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God what that would look like and increase it. But then also too, like you're saying, those goals or that, like, hey, while we're, you know, making changes here in whether that was buying a house or having a you know, a pay raise or whatever mm-hmm. that is of like, hey, what does it also look like to have a giving goal, a generosity goal? Yeah. Attached to this change so yeah. that we don't just spend it all.
And to be like just very blunt with, you know, a couple of people that you trust.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's literally, this is my budget. This is how much I make. This is like, I mean, I've got a couple of guys that know exactly how much I make. One of them is my accountant who is a former pastor here, you know, and it was like, and I've told him straight up like, hey, you see everything. Like, you like check me yeah. where I need to be checked, you know, and ask me the hard questions about my own heart. And, you know, so like, that's good for us.
Yeah.
That's good for us. Otherwise, I mean, left to our own devices, like we seek ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think it's just good to be just good to have a couple, you know, godly, wise people in your corner who are like pushing you to godliness and also who like love you and care about you. So.
Yeah, that's sweet. Okay, third question here. And we do have a listener question that came in yep. yesterday after your message.
Nice, so, okay.
Third question is, how can we guard against, there's where that guard came from. That's why I was
saying. Oh, yeah, there you go.
How can we guard against thinking of tithing as either a sufficient or obligatory amount to give? I'm glad I got that word right.
Yes, yeah, obligatory. Yes. Yeah, I think we use tithing just really as a ballpark number. I would say if you were to look in the Old Testament, you know, that you see it more in the Old Testament, I would say the argument for really tithing as a benchmark in the New Testament is that, hey, everything in Christ really kind of increases our,
yeah.
Increases our, like, devotion and anything in him. Right. So there's a sense of,
so wait, it's funny you say that. Cause I'm thinking of like, cause I remember in Jake, this just hit me. Jake was talking about one of our Beyond the Message podcasts. Jake was talking about the Sermon on the Mount. You know, it's like, okay, it said this, but here's yeah. the heart, the deeper. Yeah. And then you have like, okay, here's the tithe amount in the Old Testament. But then you look at the early church in Acts 2.
Yeah.
They're selling all their possessions as any had need. So it's like, yeah. there's no percentage amount there. It's like, you need right. something? Here. Here's what I have.
Yeah.
You know, and that intentional sharing. Sorry, I totally cut
no,
you off.
No, you're good.
That was just...
And I think that's where it's like, hey, just because the tithe may not be a firm requirement, do you think we should give God less?
Right.
I just don't know that you can have like give a great argument for it. It's like, well, actually I'm going to give 3%.
Right.
Like, and I'm going to keep 97%.
Yeah.
I think one thing I think about is, hey, if I loved something and they said, hey, it's going to like deeply love something, or, I'm just trying to think of a, I don't have an analogy, but there's a sense of, they said, hey, like, but you're going to have to take a, you're going to take a 10% pay cut. Okay. Do you think you could figure out your life of 10% less?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably could.
Yep.
You know, and I think that's where there's a sense of, and we kind of like, it takes us everything in us to kind of get to that, to even to get to a tithe. And there's a sense of, man, if I just, or if tomorrow I got a 10% pay cut, I'd probably figure out how to live. Right. Would it be like, would it be a lifestyle hit? Yeah. 100% it would. Would it be a maybe a little bit difficult in the beginning? Yeah, absolutely it would. But it's like, if it was for something I loved, like, then, and that's a whole lot different. And I think that's where, even just in the message of, from a devotion standpoint, it's like, man, like, you really do, like, you invest in what you love.
Yeah.
And, like, if I truly saw, like, see the beauty of Christ and what he's accomplished for me, I think I like said it offhandedly in one of the, messages, but like, Jesus didn't tithe his blood. Like, he gave it all.
Yeah.
For us, and like, and us in kind, like, I don't think we should limit ourselves to 10%. I'm not, and from a like money that is open to being generous with.
Yeah.
Right. Like, our church has needs, and we have missionaries that we support. And I just think of, man, if we were a tithing church, we could pay for Clinton Miranda's like annual salary.
Yep.
Completely. We could pay for the Schmidt's salary completely.
Yep.
We could pay, I mean, it's like the amount, like, I'm not even saying like that the ministry that we could do here.
Right.
Like, I think we've always been very frugal, in general as a church, but I mean, like, we would have just paid for the basement. It wouldn't have been an issue.
Yeah, that was one thing. Like, how can we avoid debt to pay for the main thing? Well, we have all the money. Just in your, it's in your bank accounts.
Yeah. And I think it was a challenge for us of like, hey, right now, for some people, like 3% feels obligatory.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, man, that's a, you know, I just don't want that to be what's said of our church. And I think just being, want us to be like faithful stewards of what God has said, has given us. And, just thinking for myself, I'm like, it should be a little bit of a heart check and a gut check to say, like, if the Lord looked at the way, and he does, he is looking at it, like, would he say, well done, good and faithful servant,
yeah,
in the way that I spend my money?
Yeah.
And how much I withhold for myself. And it's like, that's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow.
Well, at the same time, it can be, that can feel like there's some potential condemnation there. It's also so motivating of like God doesn't need any of what I'm like, it all belongs to him. Am I just consuming? Am I thinking of like 1 John 2:15-17, like, don't love the world because everything in it's passing away, but whoever does the will of the Father abides forever.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, there is a love component that gets displayed in our stewardship and what we're doing with what God has blessed us with. So like, am I just justifying and finding ways to consume more, or am I intentionally going without, like, am I going without for the sake of like sharing, blessing, like being more intentional with stewarding the finances that God has given me, and not just finances, like what you were talking earlier, you're setting your mind to things like, what has captivated your heart?
Like,
show it with your actions, with your pocketbook, with your mouth,
with
your time.
Yeah. I love Martin Luther. He talks about the three conversions, and it's the conversion of the heart, conversion of the mind, and conversion of the pocketbook. And he goes, some people you get, conversion of the mind and conversion of the heart, but you never get to the conversion of the pocketbook. And he is just saying, hey, it's like, we're willing to give our heart and our mind to the Lord, but we are unwilling to give our pocketbook to the Lord. Hmm. It's like, oh, Martin.
Yeah.
Killing me. Oof. You know, it's like, that's a, you know, it's, and and really that you grow, and it's almost like that's in, from a maturity standpoint, just as like being a mature Christian, that still ends up being the thing that lags, because it's like, that's the thing we love the most.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we don't want to admit it. We do not want to admit it, but it is the thing that loves, we love the most, because it gets us what we want.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, if I want to be surrendered fully to the Lord, like that, and I know that money gets me the things I want, that's the thing that like has to hit the chopping block.
Yeah.
You know, like, and just thinking of like John Owen and mortification of sin, it's like, man, if I'm not killing it, the materialistic bent in me, like it is killing me. And it's like, man, do I believe that?
Yeah.
First of all, do I believe that? Right. And do I believe that like by the Holy Spirit that I can actually conquer it?
Yeah. Yeah. Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you.
Yeah.
And that can show up specifically in our finances.
Mm-hmm.
100%. All right. Listener question that came in yesterday afternoon, evening time. How do we reconcile our trust that God will provide for us and saving for retirement? Mm-hmm. Is it wise and biblical to save for the future? If so, how do we balance generosity now with how much we save for the future?
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is wise. I think you see that in Proverbs where it's like, hey, even diversify it, right? It's like, hey, you have olive oil over here and you have other produce over here. And it's like, you're diversifying your portfolio. I think the wisdom for us is like, hey, what's the purpose of retirement? I think asking yourself that first.
Yeah.
What do I see as the ultimate goal, yeah, of retirement for myself?
And if you don't know, go read Don't Waste Your Life by, yeah, John Piper.
Right.
In the bookstore.
Yep. In the bookstore. I think too, does it preclude you? Does your savings now preclude you from being generous now? Because I think we live in a town of a lot of engineers, and, you talk to a lot of engineers and they want to be, just generally bent towards security, safety, right? That's general bent. And it's like, hey, I just want to save and save and save. And I want to, and sometimes it can lean into hoarding,
yeah,
hoarding our money, and being a miser,
yeah,
and being stingy.
And then in the justification can sometimes be, well, I'll be able to be really generous later.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're becoming more of what you are. So
right.
If yeah, there's that kick in the can down the road for generosity where it's like, mm-hmm, even to retirement, Is the goal of retirement comfort and ease and getting to do, mm-hmm, what you want to do? Or is it like, now I get to free myself up to do the ministry that God's calling me to do? And I'm graduating from work. Michael said that yesterday. It's like, retirement's not a biblical term.
Mm-hmm.
You get to graduate from work.
Yeah.
you no longer have to go to work for a paycheck. Now you get to pay yourself to do what God is calling you, yeah, to do.
And here's the thing. We all have parents and grandparents and, you know, and great grandparents. And if you are honest, do they become more flexible in their ways or more set in their ways? Like, if you are not actively trying to be and giving your heart over to generosity now, you will not in 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, I can guarantee that.
Yeah.
Like, apart from a breaking of your heart by the Holy Spirit, like you are hardening your heart towards it in that way. Like if you're not doing it now, you will not do it later, which is funny because we all tell our kids that,
yeah,
like, hey, if you are not going to be kind to people in our family, how can you be trusted to be kind to people that are outside of our family?
Yeah.
And you're like, every parent is like, I can't.
Yeah.
if you know, and similar things, I mean, if you aren't doing it now, like what makes you think that you will actually do it later? I think you're just, you're kind of like, you're fooling yourself in that, yeah, way.
Well, and I think too, even to this question, balancing, you know, saving for retirement and generosity now, like some of that, like what's the priority? Mm. Like, what are you prioritizing? Like, it's not either or, it can be both and, but like, where's your heart in the matter? Mm. Are you sacrificing generosity to be able to hit an arbitrary, like there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to save 15% of retirement mm. or 15% of your take home or gross right. or what for retirement. Like mm-hmm. that's a modern day financial benchmark that yeah. is arbitrarily set because you outpace expenditures right. now and in the future right. with time value money, you know, equations. It's like a 10% generosity tithe, 15% retirement. Why not 30% tithe, 10% retirement? I mean, it's yeah. or like, okay, leave 15, match your tithe. Why doesn't that become 15? Sure. Like yeah. outpace that. I just think some of the like the priority where it's like if you're justifying not giving now mm-hmm. in order to save for retirement later, that's the like that's the category of save, give, live.
Yeah.
Like and that's a misordered priority.
We also and this is probably more for younger people. I mean, even in the marriage class, Carly and I talk often with them about like, hey, like if in these years, like you are going to make some of the most important financial decisions of your life.
Yep.
Because you're going to buy the house.
Yep.
You're going to have kids and then you're going to feel like you need to buy the next house. It just compounds. And it's like, hey, if I did not set the values of our family early,
right?
Like there's a lot to be undone, yeah. right? So now I have two cars and a house and I have, maybe I've got a couple of toys and I've got all the things. And, maybe then I buy a second house on the lake or whatever it might yeah. be. Like to begin untangling those right. things like takes way more effort until like you said, hey, no, we can stay in this house and it's better for our ability to be generous. And, I think it, for me, like to go back to answering the question more specifically, I think one thing, like it is good to save for retirement because you're going to have no income, right? The idea is, hey, I'm going to stop working. I need income. Yes, you do. Like you need to buy food. You need to do these things. But like, where is your security at? Right. Like, is it in eternity where you're like, hey, the Lord will provide all things, in eternity. And like, that's where my ultimate security is. Or even now, maybe you're in your 30s, maybe you're in your 40s. When something happens in your life, do you immediately go, we'll be okay because we have $1 million in the bank? Like, we'll be okay because we have $2 million in the bank. Like, or we'll be okay because God is God. Mm-hmm. And he's promised to provide.
Yep.
Like that's probably for me, the biggest, differentiator in this question is like, yeah, absolutely. It's wise, but are you finding your ultimate security in it?
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's like, yeah, you do need to, you need to pay bills even after you retire and there's going to be healthcare expenses right. and stuff like that. Absolutely. So do that, but it's not where your eternal security, it's not where your security lies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Sweet. Yeah. Again, I love the fact that we get to have listener questions come in. So continue to send yeah. those in. You know, there's a form linked in the connection group questions email or in the digital program. So, if you have a question like that one or anything else that comes up on a Sunday, keep sending those in. Garrett, thanks for joining us. Yeah. Appreciate it. I'm going to read your big idea from yesterday because I had to take a picture of it.
Yeah. it was sort of big. I didn't like have a full big idea. It's more of just a summation statement.
Yeah. It's also true. So let's remember and live out the truth that true godly generosity begins with a broken and contrite spirit that is humbly surrendered to Christ and lives in awe of the indescribable gift of the atoning blood of Christ. Garrett, thanks for yesterday. Thanks for being here today. And church, let's continue to live that out. Join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.